COVID-19, take a back seat to the human virus. Carrying out police brutality that took a front seat to the health crisis named coronavirus. By Christopher Boswell. Ignorance and stupidity are the most dangerous viruses that jeopardize our living together. Calamity cannot be prevented nor cured simply as a result of unawareness. Eric Pevenaughey. A Killer Within. Disclaimer. This is not my most hope-filled writing. I'm not sure there will be a good takeaway. I'll work on one as I go. Let's hope it shows up. When I was a young man, I liked to have fun and blow off steam accumulated from others' attempts at my domestication. This usually meant women, wine, and driving around. This combination will get one into trouble sooner or later. It got me sooner. One evening, heading home, after a particularly good night of frolicking around, I drove my brand new Pontiac Grand Prix through a fence into a field. I was stuck. Could not get it out, and somehow police were on the scene in minutes, even though it was a rural area. They quickly decided I was driving while intoxicated and began the arrest procedure. Although not resisting, I was mouthy and not particularly willing to be handcuffed and drug away. They don't like that. We are the killers. We stink of death. We carry it with us. It sticks to us like frost. We cannot tear it away. J.A. Baker. They have to win. Quickly, I found myself face down, being punched and wedged against the earth. My pulse quickened as fear began to well up inside me. My thoughts raced as muscles instinctively tightened against the force. So, they increased the intensity. I believe some of the officers like it. By the time I was placed in the patrol car, I was already bleeding in several places. I'm a large man, the cuffs are not designed for my size, and two sets are needed for any kind of comfort or safety. Good cops know this and try not to hurt anyone. Bad cops know it too and use it to deal out punishment before any finding of guilt. The cuffs were too tight, tearing into me. I could feel them hitting the bone, and I complained about it. No one cared. But instead, they did not apply the seatbelt around me, and the officer did a hard U-turn, sending me headfirst onto the floor. Without my hands and arms to brace against the force, I was powerless to avoid it. He was already dealing out the payback for whatever was going on in his mind. Immediately, I knew serious injuries were occurring. I cried out as loud as I could, letting him know I was in serious trouble. No help came. He was oblivious to my pleas. I was left there until we reached the intake garage at the police station 20 miles away, where they pulled me out, still complaining. Now, both of my wrists were bleeding, swelling, and bruising had already started. Maybe, to do what you and I do, we have to have a little bit of the monster in us. Jennifer Lynn Barnes. Not enough pain yet. Now, I'll have to admit, by that point, I'm past agitated. I could feel strange things happening beneath the skin on my hands and forearms. Lumps were forming and red lightning-shaped marks moved up and down the inside of my forearm. If that were not enough, the reality of my responsibilities were weighing in. As a restaurant manager, I was scheduled to open the door in the morning. Now 3 a.m. or so, that was just 6 hours away. To complicate things further, I had neglected to go to the bank the night before and had the day's cash in a bank bag left at my house. My mind raced, wondering what was going to happen next. I wanted to make a phone call and ask for help getting the money to the bank. No one had even advised me of my rights or mentioned a call. I was processed and placed in a community holding cell with all the other deviants picked up over the day and evening prior. At just 22 years old, the experience was frightening, to say the least. Every time an officer passed, I asked about a phone call and was ignored. My agitation was increasing as I needed to alert someone to my situation so the restaurant would not be affected. Then suddenly it was time for breakfast and they wheeled in a cart with covered trays. All inmates except for one officer This was my chance. The number of your antagonists are far more greater than that of your companions, so you have to keep a stone of awareness to mark the boundary line. Michael Bassey Johnson. Abuse of power. I'd had enough. As the trustees passed out plates, I watched formulating my plan of action. I had no interest in eating, as I wasn't staying long and had more pressing matters at hand. The officer stood and watched as inmates took their trays and began to eat. Soon all were served, and he turned to open the cell for the inmates pushing the cart to exit. After they passed, I stepped in front of him, blocking the door, and demanded a phone call. He had no words to speak, quickly drawing his baton, beginning to strike me at the knees while yelling for backup. I remember imagining us out on the street as equal human beings and the retaliation beating he would take. I held my breath as a half dozen more jailers arrived picking me up, transporting me to a solitary cell where I was beaten for several minutes. All the while they were making lewd comments, some laughing as I ended up in the corner trying to cover up. After what seemed an eternity, they stopped and left the cell. I heard it lock loudly as they left, still muttering to each other. Then the cell went black. They felt victory and celebrated as I slid down the cold cement wall to the floor. I had a head injury from the accident and their activities. Blood had dried in places all over me. It made my skin feel tight and cracked. I'd seen stuff like this on TV, but never imagined it was really happening. I was learning the hard way. It's very real. I'd never even been offered any medical treatment. And why would I? The medic might realize what had been happening. People abusing power don't want that. Your abusers like to keep you a secret. If people are loving and pay attention to each other, listen to each other, are careful, all that seems so evil will disappear. Man is not naturally bad, man is naturally good. Everybody enjoys doing something good. Everybody, without any exception. So start trusting and start opening. Osho. The judge. As the new shift of officers arrived in the morning, they were informed of the night's activities. I could hear them approaching and laughing outside the door. Heads darkened the one small window as they looked inside, turning the light back on for a minute. I stood back up, expecting a repeat pounding. It never came. A little later, they came and opened the door. I was taken in chains up for arraignment, never having been given a phone call. It was 7 a.m. I had 2 hours left to get out and get to work. Luckily, my name starts with B, and they call cases alphabetically. I heard my name first and was directed to go up and face the judge. He asked what I thought the bail should be, but would not look at me. Defiantly, I asked him to look at what his finest officers had done. He would not, but asked if I was employed. Of course, I replied yes and told him I was scheduled to be at work in a few hours. To my amazement, he decided to release without having to post bail. Likely one of the few decent human beings in the building, something about the situation made him feel regret and a need to help. After all, who was the victim of my crime? There was only one. It was me. Our brains are like computers. It's our responsibility to program them well, daily, and remove the viruses. Sam Owen. Interesting timing. Somehow, I made it to the bank and to work on time, but got no sleep. My dad was passing through town and called me at work. I had not seen him in 5 years. He had left my mother and sister and kicked me out of his house at 16. Despite all that, I invited him to spend the night at my house. He accepted, and after I told him the story, he snapped the picture of me included in the text of this article. I looked a little better, having had time for a shower to wash the dried blood from my hair and face. I had hit my head during the accident, but the rest of the marks were administered, courtesy of officers in the Kansas City Police Department. My torsos had bruises all over it. They know that area is less oblivious to others from simply looking at you. But they still left me with marks on the face and neck, along with a black eye. It's not just blacks who get beaten by misplaced, angry police officers. It was weeks before I could use my hands. I could not even sign the release form at the jail. The person releasing from me could not look at me either and just said, "Make an X somehow." A healthy body is not easily infected by external bacteria and viruses. A healthy mind, too, is not easily infected by external insults and undesirable events. Adish Singh. More education. Upon going to speak with a lawyer about defense and a possible lawsuit, he laughed. "Happens all the time," he said. "But they only do it to people who don't matter with little resources." I could hardly believe he said it and did not hire him, but the words still repeat in my head today. As does the pain in my wrists daily. Anytime I grip something, pain surges through the places where the handcuffs dug in, and I feel some emotional anger and regret as well. A daily reminder of what is still happening every day in our country right now. The problem for police today is everyone has a phone in their pocket. Steve Jobs may still be changing the world because of the iPhone in new ways years after his death. Research done after turned up hundreds of cases just like mine where defendants were suing the police or the city. They had varying degrees of success depending upon what state the incident occurred in. California, for instance, has a law on the books exempting state employees from liability while carrying out the duties whatever job they have requires. So if a police officer injures someone in the line of duty, they are exempt from liability. George Floyd is one of the latest recipients of police brutality. Turns out, I was lucky compared to him. It's the common people's duty to police the police. Stephen McGee. Worldwide outrage. According to mappingpoliceviolence.org, an average of 3 people per day were killed by the police in 2019. I'm going to assume everyone has heard the story of George Floyd's arrest and nearly 9 minutes on the ground with a knee in his neck. That night, America all but forgot about the pandemic and many went to work demonstrating in Minneapolis. As days went by without any charges, the violence increased with looting, rioting, and burning of buildings. Soon people in other cities began to hit the streets. A week later, the protests came to my state, Washington. Seattle, Olympia, Spokane, and Tacoma all saw protests. It seemed like my duty to document what was going on. First stop, Seattle's Capitol Hill. When you have police officers who abuse citizens, you erode public confidence in law enforcement. That makes the job of good police officers unsafe. Mary Frances Berry. Daily protests. Within the text of this article, there's a photograph of the scene just moments before a curfew had been imposed for 9 p.m. Protesters ready with umbrellas to shield them from the mace that was sprayed the night before. Gas masks worn by many in hopes of surviving the tear gas that was sure to come. A 14-year-old from an art school organized a rally in Tacoma. Starting at Wrights Park downtown, the group marched along all the way to Ruston Way and then back to Tacoma. They stopped and laid down in intersections all along the way. Participants chanted, "No justice, no peace," and "I can't breathe," along with "Say their names," over and over. In the era of angry and aggressive policing, it's an honorable service to your fellow citizens to video record police officers' interactions with the common people. Stephen McGee. Oppressive violence and hatred may, ultimately, turn the sheep into wolves. T.F. Hodge. The suburbs. Even smaller cities like Auburn, Washington, had organized marches along streets where trash cans full of bricks were found. Businesses had boarded up windows of already closed shops and storefronts. Auburn's rally was organized by a local Native American tribe, the Muckleshoot. Survivors of those killed by Auburn police spoke to a crowd that listened intently. Later, they marched from City Hall to the police station while men with assault weapons lurked about, hiding their faces. the armed men, outfitted with body armor, extra clips full of ammo, tear gas canisters and flashbangs, gloves, rope, canteens, and handcuffs. What were they there to do? Police on rooftops and covering the front and back of the crowd, plus the intersections blocking traffic. Officers made no inquiry about the heavily alarmed militia in plain sight. Your silence is power to the savages. Abbott Nascar. Now what? Will it be business as usual, as we have seen so many times before? Officers acquitted, charges dropped, or something else short of prosecution? I fear what will happen in this country if that occurs this time. Something in me says this is my chance to somehow make a difference, but how? Showing you these real and recent pictures is one way, but I have to do more. So I'll be sending this article and other letters to congressmen, senators, representatives, newspaper editors, and the White House. We are not nails to be beaten down into the ground. We are human beings. Say his name, George Floyd. Say his name, George Floyd. Say his name, George Floyd. Have you read the response of Barack Obama to this situation here on Medium? It's his first article here and it already has 226,000 claps. I hope you found some value in this article. If you did, please follow the links below for more of my recent work. Maybe another will resonate. Until next time, cheers, Christopher. Copyright Christopher Boswell 2020. All rights reserved. Please take it seriously. When Christopher isn't writing from wherever, he can be found traveling or capturing photographs somewhere in the United States. He may be generating graphic design, building a website, processing images or video, flying his unmanned aerial vehicle, wrangling dogs, or backpacking and kayaking. He lives in Tacoma, Washington. We invite you to learn more about Christopher at realwindowcreative.com.